morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Friday morning program. Today, I'd like to start by reading an article by Benjamin Krem's master titled The Curse of Commercialization. It was originally published in Share International magazine in 2009, but as with many articles by the master, they are republished in more recent issues, as is the case here. If men are to save this planet from the results of global warming, they must do infinitely more than is planned to limit carbon emissions, and in a shorter period of time than is generally accepted as necessary. Men have been slow to recognise the dangers, and even now many refuse to take the problem seriously. Such attitudes, there is no doubt, put in jeopardy the future of planet Earth. At most, men have 10 to 15 years in which to establish a balance before irreparable damage is done. To achieve this goal, men must change dramatically the present way of life and embrace simpler forms of living and working. Gone are the days in which men raped and ravaged the planet at will, without a thought for the generations still to come, neither seeing nor caring or out for the environment which has gradually and inevitably decayed. Each year, and for many years, huge areas of primal ancient forest are cleared of life-giving trees for purely commercial benefits. Commercialization indeed bodes ill for humanity as it tightens its grips on the throats of men. Commercialization, says Maitreya, is more dangerous to men than the atomic bomb, and is showing its destructive power in the economic chaos which rules in the world today. How long will it take governments and their peoples to see this? How long till commercialization squeezes the lifeblood out of humanity and itself withers and dies? More and more, the truth of these words is borne in on the minds of millions who now suddenly are jobless and homeless and in despair. This has produced a situation in which Maitreya can step forward into public work without infringing humanity's free will. Patiently has Maitreya waited many years for this time, sure in the knowledge that the events now taking place would indeed transpire. Commercialization has bared its claws and shown its powers to harm. The complacency of millions is turning into hatred and distrust of commercialization and the old order of things. Men everywhere are at last ready for a new interpretation of the meaning and purpose of life, for sharing, justice and peace, for right relationship, brotherhood and greater happiness. They are ready, at last, for Maitreya's call. Of course, not all men have undergone this change. There are many who imagine they can sit out this recession and rebuild their fortunes as before. The very rich and clever ones have not lost nothing. The gap between themselves and others has simply widened in their favour. They fail to understand that this time is like none other. We have reached the end of the old order. Cosmic forces dictate the changes that must and will take place, otherwise life would flourish no more on planet Earth. Those who are ready will quickly respond to Maitreya's teaching as he puts into simple and eloquent words their heartfelt needs. Others will take longer to forego that to which they have become accustomed and, for a time, disagree. In time, millions around the world will see the need and the logic of the changes which alone will save the planet and its people. You will note in that article that it mentioned we only had 10 to 15 years in which to establish balance in the environment. And as this was written in 2009, I'm sure we can all see just how even more urgent this appeal and advice is. So now we have an article by a Share International volunteer in Germany called Elisa Graf, and it's titled Seed Saving and Sharing, a Simple but Radical Act. Yet unknown to most of us, there is cause for concern as global food crop biodiversity is actually in steep decline. Estimates from the UN Food and Agricultural Organization, or the FAO for short, suggest that in the 20th century alone, the diversity of cultivated crops declined by 75%, and a third of today's diversity could disappear by 2050. Biodiversity allows our agricultural systems to be resilient in times of crisis, such as climate disruption, and provides opportunities for farmers to adapt, as well as the potential to increase production sustainably. According to the FAO, the greatest contributors to the loss of biodiversity are industrial agriculture, deforestation, and the excesses of the globalized, industrialized food system. Seed saving and sharing, a tradition practiced by humans for 10,000 years, is a simple but radical act that more of us can promote and practice ourselves to turn the tide. In recent decades, these traditional practices have come under increasing scrutiny as corporations, mainly four industrial agrochemical companies, have challenged them through lawsuits, as seed propagation and sharing is illegal for already patented plant varieties. Those most affected by these policies are farmers in developing countries. In response, a global activist movement has grown up around seed sovereignty, defined as the right to breed and exchange diverse open-source seeds and be independent from major seed companies. In addition to restoring biodiversity, seed saving promotes the maintenance of culturally significant traditional plant varieties. Among the most prominent voices in this movement is Vandana Shiva, whose India-based ecological advocacy organisation, Navdanya, has promoted seed sharing since 1987. This agency, whose stated mission is to conserve and reclaim the commons, has established 150 seed banks and educational programs that support local, traditional and organic farms. Navdanya reports that only 30 plant species currently supply 95% of the global demand for food, with the four biggest staple crops, which are wheat, rice, maize and potato, making up the largest share. They point to the fact that modern agriculture's efforts at uniformity has resulted in the loss of more than 200,000 varieties of rice alone. Navdanya has managed to save about 4,000 varieties of rice throughout India, 1,500 of which are conserved in one of their seed banks. Declining biodiversity hinders the renewal of soil fertility and the controlling of pests and weeds, which leads to more dependency on chemical inputs. Thus, notes Navdanya, the conservation of farmer-bred varieties is therefore of primary importance. For many communities that cannot afford to purchase corporate painted seeds annually, being able to access freely distributed resilient varieties can make the difference between life and death. Vandana Shiva reminds us that it's precisely from a seed that democracy grows from the bottom up. Our production, distribution and consumption of food then becomes a question of democratic rights to food and sovereignty. In Brazil, 84% of the country's 180.5 million acres of cropland is planted with soy, corn or sugarcane, high-yield monocrops that require intensive pesticide inputs, about 370,000 tons each year, which damages soil and biodiversity. Brazil also hosts the Landless Workers Movement, or the MST for short, which is one of the largest rural workers movements in the world, with an estimated 1 million members. While land reform is MST's key concern, as only 1% of farms control over 44% of arable land in Brazil, the movement also supports food sovereignty, environmental protection, and social justice. In 1997, 12 MST member families started an organic seed cooperative called BioNatur to produce and commercialize agroecological seeds that can be cultivated, multiplied, conserved, and improved by the farmers who acquire them, expressing their productive potential and their ability to adapt to the different regions of Brazil. To date, BioNatur supports 400 families who grow organic food crops. Around the world, many groups are working to educate their own communities on the significance of seed saving. Occidental Arts and Ecology Centre, OAEC for short, an 80-acre research, demonstration, education, advocacy and community organising centre in California, trains and supports communities to design and cultivate resilience to mounting ecological, social and economic challenges. A key project is their Mother Garden Biodiversity Program, through which they curate, propagate and share thousands of varieties of heirloom, open-pollinated annuals and edible, medicinal and ornamental perennials. Their plant collection and seed bank, developed over 40 years, focuses on food crops that have special genetic, cultural and historic importance specific to their bioregion. OAEC gives away over 100 pounds of seeds every year to community groups and hosts three of the largest seed exchanges in California. They emphasize that seeds are not meant to be hoarded, but planted out, multiplied, and saved again in a cyclical living interaction between farmer and seed. What could be perceived as a silver lining in these times of pandemic is that, in order to mitigate the stress, many people have reconnected to nature and turned to gardening. As a result, there has been an unprecedented demand for seed, with seed companies reporting they've had trouble keeping up. American sustainability advocate Rob Greenfield leads a free seed distribution project, it's called the Free Seed Project, to empower people to learn to grow their own organic food. Since 2018, the project has sent out 20,000 free seed packs to people in all 50 states of the US. The kits include seeds for a variety of vegetables, herbs and greens, as well as a mix of flowers to attract pollinators like bees and butterflies. Also included are instructions for how to properly save seeds from one's own crops to allow continued propagation. Gardeners can also then share their seeds, enabling more people to start gardens to feed themselves. While the main aim of the project is to make it as easy as possible for new gardeners to get started and be successful, Greenfield notes that his priority is providing seeds to those who otherwise might not be able to afford them or have less access to homegrown organic food. His website offers numerous instructions and tutorials for first-time gardeners, with links to additional resources to allow anyone to successfully garden and save and share their seeds. As Vandana Shiva puts it, The act of sharing and saving seeds is a political one, she says. A seed sown in the soil makes us one with the earth. It makes us realize that we are the earth. So that's the end of that article by Elisa Graf from the December 2021 issue of the magazine. And we should have time for at least part of an article from the same issue with the title, People Power Will Deliver What Historic Polluters Are Not. And this is from Glasgow in Scotland. After decades of pressure and leadership shown by civil society groups and communities on the front lines of the climate crisis, and following the calls from relevant institutions like the International Energy Agency, or IEA, and the IPCC, for the first time in history, the need to put an end to fossil fuels is formally recognised in the climate talks. The Glasgow Agreement calls upon parties to accelerate the transition towards low-emission energy systems, including efforts to phase out coal power and inefficient subsidies for fossil fuels. For campaigners, it is a significant step, but not enough at all. 6 years ago, the international community committed to limit global heating to well below 2 degrees Celsius and as close to 1.5 degrees as possible. Since then, they have been permanently reminded by the cycle of drought, fires, floods, heat waves and storms that a world at 1.2 degrees Celsius higher is already impacting the lives of hundreds of millions. Yet, once again, the climate justice movement condemns historical polluters responsible for the climate crisis for refusing to show leadership on climate action. And this is from Joseph Sukulu from the Pacific Managing Director at 350.org. COP26 has been deemed to be the most exclusionary COP ever, yet we made our voices heard. We, the civil society, together with our negotiators from the Pacific Islands and other vulnerable states, held the line inside the negotiations. Fossil fuel lobbies and the lack of leadership from the historic polluters are the main reasons why we are not yet seeing the billions we need to adapt to climate change, nor funds needed to pay for what's lost. It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill fight when our negotiators are outnumbered by fossil fuel lobbyists 12 to 1. It's an uphill fight when the UK government makes it almost impossible and unsafe for civil society to attend the climate talks. But 1.5 degrees Celsius is not optional. It is an absolute necessity. And this horizon should guide every single decision made by every single international institution, country and local authority. And this from Kasim Lalim, who's the Associate Director of Global Campaigns at 350.org. The mention of fossil fuels in the Glasgow Agreement is the outcome of decades of organising and campaigning, despite the efforts of fossil fuel lobbies. Things are starting to move in the right direction, but we need to accelerate. In order to do so, fossil fuel lobbies have to be excluded from the UN climate talks. Polluters out, people in should be the way the COPs are organised. We have to press on to dismantle all the false solutions, the buffers, the credits, the offsets, all the loopholes they have built into these decisions. We need to press on for ambition to do what climate science dictates. The challenge is now to make sure that these commitments are implemented bigger and faster. Today, as in the past decades, true leadership resides in the climate movement. That is all we have time for. Thanks for listening in. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. And wishing you all a lovely week.